What's up? What's up? What's up? What's good, Mo? Welcome back to Disrupted. It's the third week we here. Your number one radio station where we talk, radio podcast, I'm sorry, where we talk sports, politics, and anything hot in the streets. Got a couple things for y'all this week. We're going to elaborate a little bit on the Super Bowl some more. My opinion on the Pro Bowl, you know, the All-Star game right around the corner. February is literally right here, so you know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Victor Oladipo's return. We're going to talk about, you know, we're going to talk about Bron, Ed Reed. And you already know the one topic we have to talk about. I don't even have to say it, but you all know. So before we get into all of that, you know I got to start off with a fun fact of the week. Fun fact of the week is about Patrick Mahomes, starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. He actually can become the first quarterback in NFL history to win an MVP in a ring before the age of 25. You know, being as though this is a league that's changing and we're getting a lot of young quarterbacks coming in, it's a new era. You know, all the pocket passers, that's over with. Pretty much, if you ask me, every real good quarterback in the NFL is somewhat of a dual threat or, like, locked on dual threat, like Lamar. You have, you know, Deshaun Watson. You have Russell Wilson. You have, you know, Patrick Mahomes. You could say Patrick Mahomes. You have all these young guys, you know, who are changing the way the position is played. You can't even, it's like you can't even be chosen as a good quarterback unless you have some speed or, you know, some athleticism to you. You know, like, if any quarterbacks in college football are just, you know, consistently pocket passers without any athletic ability to show for, they're pretty much counted out. Unless they have an IQ like Peyton Manning, that's the only reason I see them stick around. But that's just that kind of league we're in. So it's exciting to see a guy as young as Patrick Mahomes kind of take the stand and become somewhat of a, nah, I'm not going to guarantee it, but somewhat of a young Hall of Famer, possibly, with his potential so young in his career. And to even have a feat like that just lets you know that this is a different dude, this is a different league, and, you know, Kansas City is in good hands for the next, let's say, 10 years. You know, I don't really know, you know, how he feels, but I'm pretty sure he's going to play football for a very long time. So, shout out to Patrick Mahomes. The first thing we're going to talk about, tragic day, Sunday. You know, everybody knows it's been going on all over the U.S., all over the world. Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, and a few other families were tragically killed in a violent helicopter crash in California on Sunday. You know, I know Kobe meant so much to a lot of people. You know, I have friends that's very big Kobe fans, you know. One of my friends has Kobe jerseys and shirts and shoes, like, real, like, he touched so many people. And it wasn't really just about basketball with him. It was a mindset thing as well, the mama mentality. You know, there's never been a guy that ever worked that hard for anything he ever wanted. And Kobe really taught a lot of people, you know, that success is built on hard work. And he's shown that on the court, his resiliency. He had a never give up mentality. I know we all remember the torn Achilles against the Golden State Warriors to sink the two free throws. We all remember when his finger popped out of place and most guys were just headed straight to the locker room. He asked the trainer to pop it right back in place and went straight back into the game. You know? It's times that, you know, when Kobe tore his rotator cuff, instead of giving up and, you know, having surgery to end the season, Kobe continued to play literally until he could not anymore. Just those things right there, I think, is memorable to a guy like Kobe, because he showed that hard work is earned, and you can't be great unless you want to work hard. There's nothing you cannot improve on each and every day, because there's no perfect man, there's no perfect woman. And the fact that he tried to elevate his game each and every day and went to the greatest lengths, you know, waking up at 3 in the morning, working out at 3, 5, 7, 11, you know, 1. Like, things like that, they kind of reflect on mindsets. You want to be great, you got to do this. You know, you got to do that. But I think the one thing I'm gonna miss the most, you know, because he did retire in 2016, so his game is missed, but he's been gone for a minute, so I don't miss that as much. I think what I miss the most is him being a dad, you know, him being smiling at the games, him congratulating all the younger players for coming close to records or shattering his records, you know, stuff like that. It sticks with you, man. It hits home. And, you know, the fact that his impact has touched so many people in the NBA, guys are changing numbers, you know, like Quinn Cook, he changed to 28. Spencer Dinwiddie, he changed to 26. Markieff Morris, he changed to 88. I'm pretty sure it's more. This trend is going to follow more, but even with his number, you've seen teams wearing 8 and 24 to start the game. Some players like Joel wore 24, Trae Young wore 8. It's just, you know, it's a hard time for everybody. And, you know, the people that were more closer to him, I'm sure it's going to deeply affect them because we really lost an icon. I told some of my friends it felt like we lost Michael Jackson. Some, you know, somebody iconic that didn't just touch people in one area or one state or one region. He touched people all over the world. I think my greatest memory of Kobe is the fact that he scored 81 on the day I was born in 2006 against the Toronto Raptors. You know, he did cook Jalen Rose that night, but every year I know my day, the day I'm born, the day I'm represented the most, has to do with somebody doing possibly the greatest thing other that comes close to Wilt. A lot of people don't even believe Wilt scored 100 points. So just to, you know, see Kobe do that and know that that day sticks near and dear to my heart because it's my birthday, I feel like me being a sports fan and sports fanatic, that sticks home. Like, I talk about it pretty much every birthday I have. Yeah, Kobe did that, my day. Kobe did that. Kobe will be greatly missed by all. And, you know, Kobe Bryant, he will never be forgotten. We're going to be represented until we all go, man. We're going to live by the mama mentality. We're going to keep it going. And, you know, you'll be terribly missed. So, RIP Kobe Bryant. RIP to his baby girl, Gianna Bryant. And rest in paradise to all the families affected and lost through this tragedy. And, you know, the thing that makes it all more significant is the fact that Bron passed Kobe for third on an all-time scoring list Saturday, and literally like 12 hours later, you know, that happened. That, you know, I can't imagine how Bron felt, you know, because he just spoke to Kobe. It's hard to really get a grasp on the emotions he probably feel. I know they're playing tonight against Portland at the Staples Center. And, you know, emotions are going to run very high. There's going to be a lot of crying. There's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of everything. And I really feel like tonight should be a night where we all just kind of reflect and recognize the greatness he left behind. He really carried the team for 20 years with some help along the way. Shaquille O'Neal, you know, I can't forget about Powell, all them guys. You know, he had help, but he held it down for 20 years. When it was a time where this team is just built on winning, he carried that legacy well into my era. Everybody knows Kobe. When you shoot a ball in the gym, when you were a kid, you yell Kobe. When you bought a piece of paper up because you messed up on some homework and you shot it in the trash, you yell Kobe. When you, you know, go to a county fair or you go somewhere and you win a basketball, if you see a Lakers one up there and they say Kobe on the back, you getting it. That impact. A lot of us didn't even like the Lakers, but we were in love with the game Kobe had. We were in love with his mannerisms, his idea of winning. You know, he was never held back from calling people out. He'd call you out in a heartbeat. NBA players can tell you that. I think I read a story about Lou Williams. He said after they lost to the Raptors, when Lou was over there, that Kobe took all of the shoes that team had, because they were wearing Kobe. Some of the players were wearing his shoe. He took all of their shoes and threw them in the trash and said, you know, you're not worthy. That's a wake-up call to a lot of guys. And some of those guys are still hanging around, and I'm pretty sure that influence of that day is the reason why they're still hanging around. You know, but he, like, Kobe had a great mindset, you know. I didn't have a chance to read his book. You know, I think I am going to go purchase that and give it a read. His Mamba Academy, giving kids a chance to stay out of trouble and, you know, play the game that they love and adore. It's so much to talk about. And I don't want to keep being sad about it, but I do want to know that he will be well represented within our culture. And there's so many great things to look at what he did. At that point, he should just be greatly represented. We should carry it on. You know, I'm not the biggest Kobe fan. And you don't even have to be. You can be somebody that barely watched basketball, but I bet you know the impact Kobe had. I bet you know the impact of his mindset that he gave the world. Mamba mentality is like a saying now. It's like a trend. It's a way of living. And the fact that he didn't get to live as long as we all hope is tragic in itself. But I think in his 41 years of being here, he did so many great things. He'd never, ever, ever, ever be forgotten. So, once again, rest in peace to Kobe Bryant. Let's go ahead and talk about the All-Star Game format while we're on the subject. So, reported not too long ago, but both teams will be wearing 2 and 24 respectively for Gianna and Kobe. The All-Star format has changed a little bit with some new rules to how the game is going to be played. I'm pretty sure everybody knows. You know, the fourth quarter, obviously Kobe's quarter. They're going to add 24 points to the score tally by the three previous quarters on both teams. And then they'll have a final score, which both teams will compete to reach. And whoever reaches that score first will win the game. I think it's a great way to represent Kobe. I'm still confused a bit by the format. I think I have to see it in action. But great way to represent Kobe on All-Star Weekend. We're going to get a lot of tributes that night. I'm pretty sure the dunk contest probably going to have some stuff about him. You know, rising stars. I'm a sneakerhead, so shoes. I'm going to be looking at a lot of shoes just that All-Star break. And I know I'm going to see some Kobe's out there. I know I'm going to see a bunch of Kobe's. So, you know, the All-Star game format, I want everybody to just go watch it. Just watch it. I mean, Kobe was a hell of a player in the All-Star game anyway, so if it's been represented about him that way, I'm pretty sure everybody would love to tune in and go ahead and check that out. In other news, Victor Oladipo returned previous two nights ago. I think he had a good game. He had a clutch shot in the fourth quarter. What's more impressive is the fact that Indiana has been able to hold it down while he's been gone. They've had a great record, you know. Sabonis is an all-star. Congratulations to him, you know. But I really think that team can make a little run in the playoffs. They would need him healthy, though, Oladipo, I'm saying. They would need him healthy. And, you know, I think the team should just ease him back into the play. But It's good to see him back. Victor Oladipo is one of my favorite players. He's from Maryland, so, you know, representing DMV right there, so you already know. But I think Victor Oladipo, I think that they can make a hell of a run. They might be able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but it'll be some tough battles. They really have to you know, play their best, knock somebody off. Somebody gonna have to go down for them to get there, though. I don't know who that's gonna be, but I think that they have the talent to make it there. And then I want to talk about All-Star snubs. Now, teams were announced. Everybody's seen the teams. Everybody knows the teams. But at the same time, it's two dudes I want to talk about that got snubbed. Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. Now, I know for a fact that Devin Booker, 27 points a game, 6 assists, that's hard to come by. Everybody ain't doing that. Devin Booker is getting penalized because his team is bad, which is a contradiction in itself because Trae Young made it. But Trae Young's team is just as worse, if not worse. And then Bradley Beal, I feel like he's getting penalized as well because he's playing for a bad team. You know, the Wizards, you know, we're not the best team in the league. You know, everybody knows that. But his numbers are outstanding enough where he should have been considered easily as a reserve. You know, I mean, you know, you could argue him as a starter, however you want to do it. He should be in the game regardless. Regardless of the matter, like, he should be in the game. Booker, you know, I felt like, I think Jokic made the list. Jokic shouldn't be on that list. Nikola Jokic should not be on that list. Denver's playing good. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But come on. Come on, man. Good play should be represented, right? If good play should be represented, why is the dude that's averaging 27-6 and shooting 50%, which a couple only players have done, I think, like Bron, Jordan, Curry, Magic, just to name a few. Some guys, just to name a few. I might be wrong about some people, but just to name a few. Why, you know, being considered in that company right there, why is he not playing? That's what my fault is. And I do have a problem with that. I think that he should be playing. You know? But there's no reason to keep dwelling on it. We know how this thing goes. Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot of players that, you know, feel like they should have been snubbed. And to be honest, every year is going to be somebody. I'm just mad that it had to be these two guys. Think about it. If Bradley Beal and Booker both got in respectively, and Jokic was the snub, and from the East, I think Kyle Lowry was on there. You know, reverse that, because Kyle Lowry should not be in over Bradley Beal. So just reverse those two things right there and tell me how you will feel. Honestly, people wouldn't be mad that Beal got in over Lowry. Hell, people wouldn't even be mad that Booker got in over Jokic. But the other way around, it just don't make no sense. At this point in the season, if you're playing this great halfway, you should be represented no matter what. I don't care what your record is. I don't care how many game winners you get. Numbers speak. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. So, you tell me. But I think that Devin Booker and Bradley Beal disrespectfully were snubbed. This is my opinion, though. Aaron Gordon is in the dunk contest this year. I think Derrick Jones and Dwight Howard are the only other two people who have committed to the contest. I don't know how I feel about it. Because Aaron Gordon, 2016, I felt like he should have won. I felt like he had it, you know, and it's the outstanding dunks. And I tweeted this earlier. When I watched that, I could watch that dunk contest 100 times over. I don't know if anybody noticed, but it seemed like every time LaVine dunked, all the players on the side were, like, going crazy. But if Aaron Gordon dunked, everybody's, like, you know, chill. I don't know. I'm not going to. My opinion is I felt like that had a factor in him winning the game, I mean, with the contest. But honestly, I felt like Aaron Gordon did enough to win. That between both legs, Don, ain't nobody ever did that. And he's 6'10". It's easy for little dudes to dunk the ball like a 6'1 guy. I think John Wall is 6'4". He can do probably any dunk. So big guys, you know, it's very hard for them to do a lot of dunks because they're already up there. And if their hang time is not crazy, they really have a lack of creativity when it comes to dunks. They'll have to do other things like, you know, bring out a bunch of props and stuff like that. Not really excite the crowd. But I really hope that Aaron Gordon can do better this year because he hasn't had nowhere close to that 2016 performance ever since he's been going back. I think he's been back once. He was hurt the other year, but, you know, hopefully he can redeem himself this year. He can win it, and I'm excited to see who will win it. I still want Ja Morant in there, but he still has to commit, so we don't know. Let's talk a little bit of football. I know everybody watched. Well, let me not even say that because I know everybody didn't watch the Pro Bowl. I know I didn't watch most of it. I was too, you know, the Kobe stuff. But the way I feel about the Pro Bowl, I feel like it's not competitive anymore. You know, it's like guys are out there just joking around, you know, mingling and stuff like that. I think that the money incentive should go up to make people more competitive. Because obviously, you know, joking around like that and playing the way they do, it can't be making no money that's going to change their life. Maybe if you raise the incentive of the Pro Bowl, I think people will go harder. And that's what we see because in a game, you're playing for a playoff position, right? You got to win a certain amount of games to make the playoffs. You go hard in that, and you're doing it for money. So just, I think the NFL should do a better job at trying to have a bigger incentive for whoever wins and loses the Pro Bowl. You know, guys complain about money anyway. They're not getting money, or they're not paying me, or that contract is weak. I need an extension. Imagine if you got $10 million off one win. You know, maybe more. I know that that's probably going to be hard to do, but doing it can save an all-star game that we should all be able to enjoy. I'm tired of seeing people have one hand touch and, you know, come on, man. You wearing a helmet and stuff for a reason. I'm not saying that the game is not dangerous. You don't got to go out there and kill each other, but I want to see some physicality, like running around and tapping each other. That ain't it. That ain't it by far. So, I think that the NFL should do a better job at raising the incentives on the Pro Bowl to ensure that the fans get what they want and to ensure that the players, the ones that don't make the playoffs, the ones that don't make the Super Bowl, have one last, you know, one last go at it before, you know, they go on break. But, you know, that I'm tired of seeing that one-hand touch stuff. That ain't going to do it. That ain't going to do it at all. So, y'all, the NFL, I hope y'all change that. In more football news, Ed Reed is returning to Miami as chief of staff in an advisory role. First of all, Ed Reed's a Hall of Famer. That's going to bode well for anybody that's hiring him. Secondly, it's his alma mater. I think that Ed Reed should have been hired by Miami. I know things had to work themselves out and stuff like that, but it's good to see him, you know, back. And three, the mentality that he plays on, I think that he can bring that team back to what we used to see. For example, I was born in 1999. In 2001, the Miami Hurricanes won a national championship. Of course, I'm, you know, a lot younger. I don't even know what a football is. But as I got older, I did do a lot of research on that team. That team was crazy. And, you know, to bring a guy back that felt that championship feeling, I'm sure they got the trophy somewhere in there. The guy that felt that and the guy that did that, I think that'll heed to a lot of players, like, you know, damn, we could do that. And with a guy like Ed Reed there telling us right from wrong and telling us what's better for us and stuff like that, that's gonna open the doors for a lot of people. And I think a lot of guys are going to kind of get the memo. You know, like, we can't keep playing the way we have. It hasn't won us anything. I mean, you tell me, what's the better team in the state of Florida? The Hurricanes or the Gators? Most people that watch football, college football at that, that should be an easy statement. Not even close. You bring back some of that fire and that intensity, that attitude, we're looking at a more competitive answer. An answer that can be pit at debate on any level. So, congratulations to Ed Reed. You know, I hope that works itself out. One more topic. Should Dolan sell the Knicks? Yes. That's the answer. I don't have nothing else to say about that. And the last topic, you already know every week I have to do, whose career was more memorable? Being as though we lost a legend and one legend is retired, I'm going to do the debate now. Kobe or Jordan? I'm picking Kobe. And I know a lot of people going to say, oh, you know, Jordan moves were copied by Kobe. He had to still put the ball in the hoop, right? He had to still win championships, right? He had to still be great. So that doesn't matter as much to me. I mean, hell, I see KD do a Dirk Nowitzki fade away. That don't mean that he's trying to be Dirk. That just means that you were influenced by somebody. Influence does not make you subject to just be like that person. Everything about that person, no, that's you taking a skill or learning from a great one. And plus, I watched Kobe. I didn't watch Jordan, so I may be biased to some. But to me, I felt like Kobe did a lot in his 20 years with L.A., and I felt like he influenced us so much more. Michael Jordan is and still is very much relevant. But it don't hit home like Kobe. And I don't think it ever will. You know, I'm not even going to bring championships to it. Okay, he has one more than him. But impact off the court. Kobe done more than Jordan. And impact off the court means a lot more to me than just stats. Because I don't think that is the only thing that makes you a GOAT. What makes you a GOAT is also what you do off the court. So, I'm taking Kobe Bean Bryant. I thank y'all for listening to me this week. Next week, we're going to have, obviously, the results of the Super Bowl. We're going to have some more updates, possibly, on All-Star, how this thing is going. I'm not sure if it's all cemented, but I'm sure we're going to get updates. NFL offseason starts, so some trades and stuff, you know, some ideas are going to start floating around. And also, I think February 1st is the day that the Nipsey Hussle and Puma collaboration is dropping. So we're going to have some news on that too and how promotion stuff is going. So, you know, a lot of stuff to talk about for next week. But as always, love y'all for listening to me, man. You know, it's a blessing to be able to do this at such a great university. And I'm thank y'all for giving me the chance to say my opinion on this show and also give out my voice to how I felt about sports, hip-hop culture, and anything hot in the streets, you know. So, once again, love y'all for listening. And I catch y'all next week on Disrupted. Peace.